Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicing with new topics every single week of the year, as you already know, and jabbing with your daily dose of UFC. We have a massive, let me just tell you guys, massive UFC event this weekend, UFC 315, with the great, the powerful Bilal Muhammad in the main event. That is right, Bilal Muhammad out here in main event in pay-per-views. Honestly, I think it's just the Canada curse. Canada is cursed with getting terrible main events for pay-per-views for fight nights. It's actually pretty comical. I think it's like a running gag maybe in the UFC, but yes, on today's episode, we will be dropping our UFC 315 predictions and looking at a plethora of new fights that have been dropped. There are, I think, 12 fights that we got going. There have been some changes, but, you know, we've lost some good fights on this card. However, you know, what we have, I don't think it's that bad. I do think it can produce a good card. Speaking of cards, we also are going to be giving our WWE Backlash predictions. That's right, we got another WWE PLE coming at you, John Cena and Randy Orton. We're going to give our thoughts on that. We're also going to be reviewing the hit TV show Righteous Gemstones. I finished it up and I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. I'm recording this on the 8th. That was right, the day before I graduate, and it'll be uploaded on the same day because I was going to record last night, the 7th, and me and my buddies just decided to go out one last time before graduation. Let me tell you, it was memorable. It was fun and just some of the best times ever. Some people tell you college was the best time of their lives. Yeah, I am with them. But there's no time for reminiscing. There's only time to look forward to the future and all these new UFC fights we're going to get. Starting off, I mean, where to begin? Let's go here. UFC 317 going down June 28th. By the way, doesn't have a main event. Iotopia is fighting someone who we don't know. But UFC 317 has the number 8th ranked women's flyweight Vivian Arujo back in action, taking on number 10 ranked Tracy Cortez. And Tracy Cortez, 5-1 in the UFC. Her only loss is a main event to Rose Namajunas. That's not too bad. That really isn't. Vivian Arujo, you know, she's fraud check Karen Silva. She's beating Jennifer Maya, beating Roxy Modafferi. I mean, she's pretty irrelevant. I'm going to be riding with Tracy Cortez. She is more entertaining. She has more of a personality. And not to be rude, Vivian, she's better looking. I'll say it in a mean way, Vivian. Please don't hate me. Also, Vivian, I swear I never predict her fights correctly. She just fights the most rudimentary style of all time. You know, Tracy comes in, mixes up the kickboxing, maybe a takedown here and there. But yeah, that should be a nice little prelim fight for UFC 317. Here's one for UFC 316. That's right, the UFC 316 June pay-per-view going down in New Jersey. You get a little welterweight action as Chaos Williams back, finally. Chaos Williams finally back fighting against Uros Medic. Uros Medic and Chaos Williams, both guys with so much potential. And I really like this fight because they're both, you know, one's 4-3, one's 6-3. They're just in pretty similar spots career-wise. I think a win or a loss will really determine who's going to potentially move towards the rankings and get a ranked opponent and who's going to kind of move a bit down because they aren't maybe ready for a big shot. But should be an interesting fight. They'll definitely be on the prelims. Another one for UFC 316. Johnny Walker pulls out of yet another fight. He was supposed to take on the number 12 ranked Azamat Mirzakhanov. Instead, the 14-0 undefeated light heavyweight Azamat will take on Brenson Ribeiro. Brenson's 2-2 in the UFC, wins over Bruno Lopez and Dyar Nurgozai. Actually, also a win over Kyle Machado. I wonder if that was on the Contender Series. I don't know, but yeah, Azamat is knocking Brenson out. It's a shame. We've been unable to get any Johnny Walker fights, and Johnny Walker is super entertaining when he tries to, but yeah, no idea what's going on with that. Azamat, I have been waiting to watch him fight. I mean, when was his last win? The Alonzo Menafield knockout? I mean, it's been a while since you last saw Azamat Mirzakhanov. 2 days ago, it was announced that UFC Nashville, going down in Tennessee July 12th, has an amazing main card matchup here as the number 15th ranked featherweight Calvin Kattar takes on the man on a 5-fight winning streak, Steve Mean Machine Garcia Jr. Mind you, not just 5 wins, 5 straight knockouts. This dude's been a killer. Okay, Steve Garcia Jr. has been a killer. He's beaten Chase Hooper, Chepe Mariscal, Kyle Nelson. This dude has been on quite the run, and I will say it sucks because Calvin Kattar is currently sitting at 7-7 in the UFC, and it's just been running into the worst luck. You know, has to take on Aljamain Sterling. He takes on, who is it, Arnold Allen, and gets injured, though the bad decision against Josh Emmett. Who did he fight most recently? Oh my gosh, who did Calvin Kattar fight most recently and he lost to? It was Yusuf Zalal out there beating him. I just think, you know, this guy needs a pick-me-up fight, and Steve Garcia is quite the opposite of a pickup fight. So that one should be interesting. Definitely going to be on the main card there. I'm picking Steve Garcia, but if there's ever a fight that Calvin can win, it is a fight here because this is a pure boxing matchup. I mean, Steve is just throwing the hands. So Calvin could potentially catch him coming around one of the hooks or something. Looking even farther down the lane, UFC 318 in New Orleans, Louisiana has a fantastic fight July 19th. Obviously, that's going to be Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway. That's an amazing main event right there. What are you going to put on the main card? How about the number 10 and the number 11th ranked middleweights who absolutely hate each other? Marvin Vettori and Brendan Allen. And Brendan Allen, guess where he's from? Louisiana. Dude, that's fantastic. That is a fantastic fight right there. I absolutely love it. Two guys who are in desperate needs of a win. And honestly, I'm sorry, Marvin. I absolutely love him, but something about Brendan Allen, dude. People love to hate him, but I honestly think he's really talented. You know, Marvin Vettori last time out against Roman Dolidze, pitching a dud. Brendan Allen kind of having a competitive matchup against Nazarene Imavov. Honestly, looking at what Nazarene did to Adesanya and then looking at how Brendan Allen fought Imavov, I mean, I don't think that really speaks to how good Brendan Allen is. That should be a fun fight, and that main card is probably going to be absolutely loaded. UFC Vegas 108 is going down August 2nd. That's right there. They have Apex cards booked out to the start of August, and you get the flyweight matchup of the 11-0 undefeated Andre Lima, of course the man who was bit by his opponent in the octagon, taking on Felipe Bunez de Silva, who's 1-1 in the UFC, has a win over Jose Johnson. Yeah, we're just getting wins for this Andre Lima fella. Let me just tell you, a little pick-me-up fight here. He's in his mid-20s. We're looking to build him up. This is another good test for him. Veterans go at it in UFC Atlanta June 14th as bantamweights Cody Garbrandt and Ryony Barcelos do battle. It's about time. About time we got a little Cody Garbrandt action. When was the last time he fought? I think it was... Was it UFC 300? Was it when he lost to Figueiredo? That might have been the last time we saw Cody Garbrandt. I think Cody Garbrandt works best when he's fighting prospects and when he's fighting veterans here like Ronny Barcelos. No one that's actually in the rankings or anything. So this one probably be on the UFC Atlanta main card. I don't know if any of these guys are from Atlanta, but Cody also has a weird like knife tattoo going through his eye. It's very interesting. It gives emo boy kind of. I don't know how to feel about it. Same card, same division, bantamweight. Ricky Simone finally back. Ricky Simone actually holds a win over Rob Duevo-Shelley. Fun fact enough. You know, having his knockout against Javid Basharat was a real career revitalization for Ricky Simone and a self-confidence booster. And here's a tough one. He takes on Charles Jourdain. Charles Jourdain has dropped down to bantamweight, found some success, and you know, this is a great matchup. It's a great matchup. I can't complain. Throw it on the main card. UFC Atlanta is stacking up. And then our last fight that we've had announced. This one is super fun. I don't know who to pick. UFC Abu Dhabi going down July 26th. The number 8 and the number 13th ranked flyweights, Asu Almabayev and Ramazan Temeryov. I mean, holy cow. Two high-level boys from Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. Sign me up. Sign me up for this one. Asu Almabayev, you know, he's kind of humbled last time out. You know, Manel Cape kind of did him silly. As for Ramazan, he went out there and he took Charles Johnson to a close fight, was able to beat him, also beat CJ Vergara. So I'm excited for this one. You know, UFC Abu Dhabi rarely lets down. And I'm actually more curious to see what the main event is for that. But hell, boys, we got a bunch of exciting fights coming up. I mean, it is a good time to be a fight fan. And I will say the one fight that is not official, but is apparently rumored, and it just makes no sense. The number 2 ranked Petr Yan might have a matchup with the number 13th ranked Marcus McGee in the men's bantamweight division. And it makes no sense because Petr Yan could legit go fight for the title. And instead, he might fight the number 13th ranked Marcus McGee. I mean, props to Marcus. Props to Marcus. But even Petr Yan, I think, went on social media and was like, yeah, I'm fighting this guy. Yeah, everyone's saying this isn't happening. Yeah, this is happening. I don't know what's going on. He wants to stay active. Apparently, no one wants to fight him. But he also brought up him and Corey Sandhagen could fight for a title shot. I mean, I'm okay with any of those options. I'm just excited to see fights. That's all I'm excited to see. But yeah, those are all your new UFC fights. It's been a fun time. You know, things are coming to an end. Things are starting. And one thing that recently came to an end was the Righteous Gemstones. I found this gem after seeing... Oh my gosh, I didn't even try and say this gemstone. What can I say? I found this TV show from this TikTok clip of these... There's Walton Goggins who plays Billy. Oh my gosh, what's his name in the show? It's like Billy Bobby Bo Billy or something. It's Baby Billy Freeman. It is. He is super funny. Him and his sister in the show, who is portrayed by I know I can think of it. Jennifer Nettles, and they're singing their "Never Never Never Misbehaving." It's like a popular song in the show, and it was funny. I thought it was funny, so I went and watched the whole thing, and it was amazing. It was amazing. You get John Goodman playing this, television preacher. I mean, the whole show is based around and making fun of these mega churches and just the dysfunctionality of the family. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious. And I mean, Eddie Patterson is hilarious as Judy Gemstone. You also have Tim Balls as her husband, BJ, which is super funny. Danny McBride is kind of one of the lead stars of this. You get Skylar Gazondo, who plays Gideon Gemstone. He was in... What would anyone know him from? I'm trying to think. What has he been in? He is someone. He was a show. Oh, he was in that Vacation movie. He was with Ed Helms, the Vacation movie. Yeah, he was in that. We also get Sean William. They aren't telling me the names. When I click on a character, you would think it would give me their actor's name, but no, it gives me their whatever their name is. But yeah, Corey Millsap in the show, he is portrayed by Sean. He's been in the Apple Pie movies. What is it, American Pie movies? He's been in all sorts of funny stuff. Eric Andre was in a season. You've had there's just so many people. Adam Devine plays like the younger gay brother. Is so funny. Macaulay Culkin has a cameo as the son of Baby Billy. This show is absolutely crazy. It is hilarious. I will say, like, season by season, like, the show did end on a pretty good note. When I talk about shows ending, it did end on a pretty good note. It's so unrealistic at times. It's so comedic. It shocks you. I think from right off the bat, the biggest shock value is when someone almost dies in episode one. You're like, wait a second, this whole show just took a complete 180 from what I thought it was. But season one is really based around the return of Gideon, you know, the kid from the Vacation movie, and Danny McBride, and, you know, he's coming back, and then there's, like, this, you know, murder cover-up, and then the second season may be my favorite, you know, just because of how hilarious Eric Andre is, and just the chaos of the finale there. Third season, it was all right. It had to do with, like, Doomsday Preppers and stuff, but fourth season, you know, I think there's just so much lore here. I think Danny McBride really wanted to explore with this, but he also wanted to conclude it here just to make it work because he was kind of a lead director on this. And you actually have Bradley Cooper in one of it's like a prelude episode of how they, you know, the Gemstone family came to be. And it's just such like a different vibe. Like every season they do a throwback episode. It just kind of changes up the vibe. I really like it. It's on HBO Max. If you were to ask me to give it a rating out of 10, I'm going to throw it a little 8. Solid 8 out of 10. And I think the critics agree it's got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. Google users give it an 86%. And Rotten Tomatoes, shockingly, 91%. Your Rotten Tomatoes, historically hard. Hard to break into there. But hey, you know, it is what it is. But there's been a lot of actors you would recognize in this show. It is comedic. It is so comedic. Oh, you can also watch it on Hulu and Sling TV. I didn't even know that, but there's 9 episodes every season. It recently just ended, and it ended on a, you know, just kind of a joyous note, everyone kind of ending on a happy note. That's what you love to see from those TV shows. But yes, The Righteous Gemstones, go give it a little check out. It is worth your watching time. And I'll tell you guys what else is going to be worth your watching time, and that is going to be a WWE Backlash this upcoming Saturday. I don't know if I'm going to have time to watch it. Might throw it on the phone or something, but hey, we're going to St. Louis for Backlash. Randy Orton, John Cena, one last time. It is billed as. That's exciting. That's pretty exciting. Going down in Missouri, super, super exciting. You get 5 matchups, 5 little wrestling matchups, and we're going to go through, kind of give our thoughts on where each feud stands and what we're going to do. So let's start with Dominic Mysterio and Penta. It was the final matchup to be announced. That they're not going to announce anything on this upcoming Friday Night SmackDown. But singles match for the Intercontinental Championship, I could see them dropping the belt to Penta, but honestly, I just think Dominic Mysterio freshly won it. There's no need to have him lose right here. Dominic is super over. Dominic gets amazing. He's a heel, but he's like the Eddie Guerrero heel, where it's like he uses dirty tactics, but we all love him. So Penta, Dominic, I gotta go with Dominic Mysterio. I think their feud has been working. They're kind of building towards the inevitable Finn Balor Dominic Mysterio breakup, and I think that's when you actually give Finn Balor the belt. You also have JD McDonagh getting involved here and there with Carlito and stuff. You know, this is going to be a chaotic matchup. Probably going to have some interferences, but I would love if I just got a fantastic match between two great in-ring workers in Penta and Dominic Mysterio. Props to Penta. He has came into the UFC. He has taken over. I mean, he's exactly what the company is all about, so check that out for certain when that matchup is going on, but I'm definitely riding with Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I didn't think he'd win at Mania. Everyone said he was, so now I got to get on his side. Another belt is on the line, WWE United States Championship, in a fatal four-way as you got Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre. And I don't think they should drop the belt from Jacob Fatu. I don't think they will. I just think at some point he's going to be costed by Solo Sikoa, and that feud happens. Maybe that goes on at SummerSlam. I don't know. You could build that up to next year's WrestleMania. There's a lot you could do there. I will say LA Knight and Damian Priest have unfortunately fallen into this filler role. As for Drew McIntyre, I think Drew McIntyre would benefit greatly from winning the United States Championship. So out of everyone who would win, I would go Drew McIntyre. Not even pinning Fatu, Drew McIntyre pinning LA Knight or Damian Priest, for example. But it's almost like Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest just can't escape each other. And LA Knight now can't escape the United States Championship. So we've really got to differentiate with these four what we're going to do. I do think this is a fun matchup. It gives you – every other matchup is one-on-one, so you had to throw in this little four-way to really get it going. But it's been entertaining so far. You know, Jacob Fatu is kind of passing Solo Sikoa, not just storyline-wise, but like actual popularity-wise, into being this global superstar. And Solo Sikoa is fading more into a background character. So we'll see what the WWE likes to do, but I'm going to go with Jacob Fatu. Moving kind of down the line in terms of, you know, matchups that are entertaining. Next up, you got Pat McAfee and Gunther, and they've built up this feud over the last few Monday Night Raws. You know, Gunther just basically snapping, pissed after losing to Jey Uso, and they've elected to have Pat McAfee be the man he takes on. And honestly, if Gunther doesn't go out and destroy Pat McAfee, it's just plot armor. I'm going to be honest, Gunther's character should not lose. Gunther's character keeps losing to underdogs. You know, it happened with Sami Zayn, it happened with Jey Uso. It's not how Gunther should be. Gunther should be dominant. He should be a reigning champion. He is as good as it gets in terms of in-ring worker. And, you know, him and Pat McAfee, it's been pretty entertaining watching them go at it. They had a good verbal exchange on Monday Night Raw. However, I'll just say, you know, Pat McAfee is just such a, he's an announcer. He's a gimmick match at best. And is this going to be fun? It might be. We're just going to have to see what they like to do. But if for goodness sakes, they have Pat McAfee win, I will lose my mind. I'm picking Gunther any day of the week. Any day of the week, I'm going with Gunther to win this matchup. I just don't see a world they could have Pat McAfee with unless he locked in another rear naked choke, and then we like start going down this line of Gunther losing to people and he turns him into the savage of some regard. I don't know. I would say this could use a stipulation. Maybe no disqualification would be really good. Everything on here is just a singles match normally, except for the fatal four-way. So if you want to spice this up, add a little stipulation. However, with only one event left until Backlash, I think they're just going to ride with a one-on-one match. And in a one-on-one match, I'm taking Gunther every day of the week. Now, second to last matchup that we're going to be getting, Lyra Valkyra and Becky Lynch for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. Look, Lyra Valkyra is amazing. Becky Lynch is amazing. She's came back. She's a heel now. It works perfectly, and I think everyone realizes if a title's going to change tonight, it's going to be Becky Lynch winning the Intercontinental Championship. It's what you need to do to give it stature, to give it a place up there for being important, and this feud has been great. You know, honestly, I don't even know how the women were able to do it, but they've given us maybe the best feud on this card with the time they've had to work, and I'm excited to see it. But I obviously got to go with Becky Lynch. You know, these two teamed up at WrestleMania, then afterwards they lost. Becky Lynch turned on Valkyra. Now she's been going at her. So Becky Lynch winning this, it's what's best for business. However, if you really want to make Lyra Valkyra as legit as possible, you could have her beat Becky Lynch. But the only issue with this is if you have Lyra Valkyra beat Becky Lynch, you're going to need Charlotte Flair or Bayley to take this belt off of her. So I think it's best if you have Becky Lynch win, maybe make it a really close matchup. And out of all the matchups we've gone over so far, I predict this probably will be the best in-ring match we get if these two women are allowed to work. I hope they give them like 10, 12 minutes, maybe even 15. But, you know, we often criticize some of these women matches. And for this one, I'm actually intrigued. I can't lie. I'm actually intrigued. And that brings us to the main event, the whole reason anyone would spend money to go here. That's going to be John Cena versus Randy Orton. And I think everyone can agree that we can see any possibility here. We could see John Cena winning. I think that's the favorite just because they usually don't like to have the hometown guy win in front of his hometown. And especially with Randy Orton, you know, Randy Orton's beloved by WWE versus St. Louis is going to go crazy for his entrance when he comes out. And I will say, having a heel John Cena be to face Randy Orton in his hometown and really stick it to the crowd, that's going to get Seal Cena more heat because John Cena will literally tell the crowd to the face, "You suck," and we'll go, "We suck," just because it's John Cena. It's his final run. It's so funny just to mess with him. But I got to go with John Cena. I wish this was low-key a stipulation like an I Quit match, submission match back in their 09 days. Hell in a Cell action. I don't even know. But this is going to be great. It's probably going to be a slower pace. I mean, I want you to look at Gunther Randy Orton, look at John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. You're going to get kind of those matches. They're probably going to give this 30 minutes. And they're just going to hit all their key moves. They're going to tell some storytelling. But if John Cena is really here to ruin wrestling, I think he's trying to give bad matches. I don't know if that's the character, like his gimmick that he's going with, but I don't know. I'm excited for it. I always love watching a little John Cena, Randy Orton action. And I think, when's the start time for this event, if I can see? It starts at 6, probably be over at 9, so maybe like 8:30. 8:20 maybe you see this matchup going on if they have some nice drawn out entrances. But I will say I love that John Cena keeps still doing new gear with every single event he goes to. I know it's all a money grab, but it's still cool to see him in certain colors. Like I think for this one it's a dark blue. I don't know. I really like with that. The poster's also super cool as well. You have Randy Orton and John Cena with like snakes surrounding them and stuff. Oh, it's so cool. So Backlash, check it out. We're going with Lyra Valkyrie. No, not Lyra Valkyrie. We're going with Becky Lynch, John Cena, Jacob Fatu, Dominic Mysterio, and Gunther. Yes, probably all the favorites that everyone agrees with. But hey, that's what we're going to do. Should be an exciting WWE PLE. Probably one of the better Backlashes we've had. Although last year's Backlash was really good. I don't know if we're going to top last year's, but the year prior, maybe. And with that, you know, speaking of topping, you know, it's going to be hard to top the last UFC pay-per-view we had. But you know what? I am always optimistic, and I always think the UFC can pull something out of their bag. So we'll see if UFC 315 can live up to those expectations as we go through and preview every fight on this card. We got some hidden gems. We got some good ones. Let's not delay. Let's get right on into it with our first matchup of the evening. A men's bantamweight matchup between Brad Superman Katona and Behzad the Turin Warrior Almakan. Okay. All right, it's wraps. I'm going with the Turin Warrior. Do I really got to do an analysis? I mean, come on. That's a fearsome nickname right there. Oh, my goodness. Brad Katona, 16-4. Behzad, 11-2. 5'7-5'6", 1-inch for Behzad in height, and 4 inches in reach for Behzad, 68-64. Both men stand in the orthodox fighting position. Brad is the underdog. Behzad is the favorite, -175 to +145. Let's start with Brad Katona, 33 years old from Canada, of course, now trains in Dublin, Ireland. We've known this for a while. Brad has been a recurring name we have covered. Of his 16 wins, 1 KO and 3 subs. Yeah. Yeah, a decision machine. A decision machine. 12 of 16 wins by decision. Oh, so boring. So boring. He's never been finished. His 4 losses, you know, that's a win. That's a win. He is, of course, the 2-time Ultimate Fighter champion. Never been finished. Never gotten a finish in the UFC. You know, this is his second stint in the UFC. He had one from 2018 and 2019. Went 2-2, never did much. And in his currently second stint, he's 2-2. It has not done much. Last time he fought in October, he lost to Gene Matsumoto. But we learned that Gene Matsumoto is an absolute killer. So, yeah, that's not too bad of a loss. Last win was over Jesse Butler in June of 2024, which was in Louisville. So, back in Canada, last time he was in Canada, he lost the decision to Garrett Armfield. Huh. Interestingly enough. So Brad, you know, he's just, I don't know what his style is. He likes to grapple, I think is primarily it. Sometimes he'll just do striking. I mean, he doesn't have any flair, no personality. And he has all the confidence in the world. You know, all he talks about is, oh, I want to rematch Mirab Dovzhali, I'll beat him. And then he goes and loses to Gene Matsumoto. So we'll see if Brad can bring the thunder this time as he takes on the Turin Warrior, Behzad Almakan, 27 years old from Kazakhstan, 10 of 11 wins by finish. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you like to see. 9 knockouts and 1 submission. And of his 2 defeats, he's been submitted once. His UFC debut was last March, so it has been over a year since we've seen Behzad fight. And it was a comedic fight against Umar Nurmagomedov. You know, we know how good Umar Nurmagomedov is. He's probably the number 2 or number 3 bantamweight on the planet. And he goes out, you know, I kid you out, the first exchange of the first 10 seconds, Behzad drops him. All right. Those would be the only significant strikes he would land the entire fight. Behzad would proceed to land 0 significant strikes in round 2 and 1 in round 3 and was controlled for 11 and a half minutes of a 15-minute fight. So clearly we know the weakness for Behzad isn't the grappling, but we have to use context here and the power of vision to know that it's just how good Umar Nurmagomedov is. And I'm going to be honest, you can't pay me to pick Brad Katona. I'm going with Behzad Almakan. I think having to fight Umar Nurmagomedov in your debut, not getting finish speaks more volumes than Brad Katona go out there losing to Gene Matsumoto, for goodness freaking sakes. I mean, just ridiculous. Just a ridiculous performance from him. But hey, we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does next. We're gonna ride with Behzad Ali-Makan. Moving up in weight to the men's featherweight division, we have Daniel Willie Cat Santos taking on Korean Tiger Ji Young Lee. Oh, I was so high on Ji Young Lee in his debut, and unfortunately, he ran into Hyder Mill, who turns out is better than I thought he was. Daniel Santos, minus 130. Ji Young Lee, minus 110. The odds makers, they can't choose a favorite for this one. 12-2, professional record for Daniel Santos. 11-2 for Ji Young Lee. So pretty similar. 5-10 to 5-7. 73-inch reach to 67-inch reach. Advantages going to Ji Young Lee. Orthodox stance for both of these fighters. So yeah, Ji Young Lee got a bit of height, got a good size in reach. Daniel Santos, 30 years old from Brazil. Currently on a little two-fight winning streak. Good for him. 5 knockouts and 2 subs give him 7 of 12 wins by finish. And he's actually never been officially finished in his career. All of his losses by decision. What did I have here? He was a UFC. I wrote down a little note here, and my handwriting was slow. So, oh, he's had 6 canceled bouts in the UFC. That's what it was. So Daniel's had some trouble getting fights. That's been evident last time he fought, June 2023. That's what it was. 6 canceled bouts. I think it's been 4 straight overall. You know, he has wins over John Castaneda and Johnny Munoz, but like those are 2 and 3 years old. Like, those are just... it's impossible to even look at those. So we'll see if Daniel Santos still has some magic in him as he takes on Korean Tiger Ji Young Lee, 29 years old from South Korea. 4 knockouts and 3 subs make up 7 of 11 with his wins by finish. Love to see that. And he's only ever been finished once, and that was, of course, in his debut against Hyder Amil in what was just an insane, insane fight right there. You know, Ji Young Lee was actually supposed to fight Trevor Peak May 3rd and Gavin Tucker on this fight, on this card. Instead, Daniel Santos is stepping in. But yeah, the Hyder Amil fight lasted all about 1 minute and 5 seconds. And I want you to picture, if you guys have ever seen Rod Tang, he's a guy who just gets hit repeatedly and like never goes down. That was Ji Young Lee and Hyder Amil. Hyder Amil's just laying into Ji Young Lee, and Ji Young Lee's just eating all the punches, not getting knocked down, not even getting wobbled. He's just up against the cage, eating all the punches. And eventually the ref was like, okay, all right, that's enough, guys. We got to stop this fight. So, unfortunately, Ji Young Lee coming into this one hasn't fought since July of last year. But before that, he was on an absolute roll. Beat Blake Builder. Won the road to the UFC. You know, he had some round one finishes on there. He's pretty good. Daniel Santos hasn't fought in a while. I'm going with the Korean Tiger. I just love the nicknames. I also really like the South Korean fighters. Something about the South Korean fighters. I'm always a fan of them. I'm always rooting for them. We're going with the Korean Tiger, Ji Young Lee. Middleweight's up next, and this one is quite literally the loser is getting cut from the UFC as we get Mark Powerbar Andre Barriuch taking on Bruno Blindado Silva. Mark Andre Barriuch 16-9 with 1 no contest. Bruno Silva 23-12, 6'1 to 6'1. 1 in height for Mark, and they both have a 74-inch reach, and both fight in the orthodox stance. I mean, size-wise, these two are very similar. Mark is the minus 155 favorite. Bruno Silva, the plus 110 underdog. Marc-Andre Barriuch, 35 years old, for Canada, but actually lives and trains in Florida. I mean, that boy wanted to get out of Canada, let me tell you that. 10 knockouts and 1 sub make up 11 of his 16 victories and of his 9 defeats. He has been submitted 3 times and knocked out once. So actually, I think he's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 1 time, if I'm trying to think of it correctly. I don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, Mark just hasn't been on the best of run lately. You know, he's on a 3-fight losing streak. He's been knocked out in round 1 in both of those fights, but, you know, the Dustin Stolfus knockout, that one was bad, but the Joe Pyfer one, expected. It took Chris Curtis the distance. I mean, it wasn't, but 2 years ago, June 2023, he had a fight of the night against Eric Anders. So it's in him, it's capable, but he does come in on a very sour streak. And overall, his UFC run has been very lackluster. Can't even lie, he's sitting at 5-8 with a no contest. He's just never really amounted to much. Biggest win, probably that Eric Anders fight. If I'll be honest, it's probably the biggest win. His losses, you know, Anthony Hernandez, Chidi and Chukani, Junior Park, Christoph Jocko, Andrew Sanchez, so a lot of guys that were good at the time. He is fighting in front of his hometown, so if this is it for Mark, you know, what a way to go out, but it's not going to be easy as he takes on Bruno Silva, 35 years old as well, from Brazil. 20 of his 23 wins by knockout, but 7 of his 12 losses are by submission. And Bruno Silva, similar scenario. This guy, so much potential, and just a 4-6 record, just could never capitalize on anything. Comes in, 3 straight knockouts, 2 in round 1, that's to fight Oxpera. Now, mind you, takes Oxpera the distance. Very impressive. and then gets just ran through by Gerald Meerschaert. It made no sense. Bounced back, knocking out Brad Tavares. That was his last win in April 2023. And then gets submitted by Brendan Allen. We can look past that. Then gets beat by Sharmagomedov. Okay, we can look past that. Then we're in 2024. Chris Weidman schools him. All right, that's looking kind of bad. Last fought in October, Ishmael Nawadiev just took him to school. So Bruno Silva is just on a four-fight losing streak. He's actually insane. One in six. He's 1-6 his last seven. I have no idea how he's even still in the UFC. But when it comes to it, you know, and Mark Andre Belliou just doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to land a submission. He's going to want to strike, and if we're doing a striking battle, Bruno Silva's going to channel that old-school knockout power, and he's going to get his 21st knockout. That's right, we're taking the underdog, Bruno Blindado Silva. If this is the last time that I see this guy in the UFC, and I have the opportunity to pick him, yeah, best bet, I'm going with Bruno Silva. I do think he has better power than Mark Andre Belliou. It's just you never really know. Like, Belliou's been hit clean his last two. Bruno Silva has just kind of been outclassed in every aspect, which doesn't say much either. But yeah, we're going to go with Bruno Silva on our little prelim predictions. Moving along, we head to two straight light heavyweight matchups. First up, we got Navajo Sterling back in action as he takes on Ivan Erzling. Navajo 6-0, undefeated. Ivan 14-4 with one no contest. 6'4 to 6'2, 2 inches in height for Navajo and 7 inches in reach for Navajo. 79 to 72, yowza. Orthodox stance for both of these light heavyweights. Navajo minus 350, big favorite plus 235. Ivan is the underdog. Navajo Sterling, 27 years old from New Zealand. 4 of his 6 wins have came by knockout. Got a round 1 knockout on day 1's contender series. Actually, I think it was round 2 when he knocked out Philip Law. I think it was like round 2, about 2 minutes in. Then he made his debut on the final card of 2024 and he beat Tuco Tukos. Now, I will say that he should have ran through Tuco Tukos and he didn't. In fact, even got taken down a bit in the later rounds. So, Navajo Sterling has a lot to live up to, which is kind of why they're giving him Ivan Erzling, which is a very good test. We'll see if Navajo can keep that momentum going, because, you know, undefeated fighters have been having some terrible luck this year. Ivan, 33 years old from Croatia, 10 knockouts and 1 sub give him 11 of 14 wins by finish, and 2 of his 4 defeats he's been finished in, once by knockout, once by sub. Made his debut in September and had a split decision win against, a split decision loss against Ion Kutalaba, and it was just competitive. And at the end of the day, Ion just ended the third round better. Ivan had some moments with some takedowns and some striking, and I could really see the potential there with Ivan Erzling. I really can. And this is Aussie giving me, what's his face, Bogdan Guskov vibes. Okay, Bogdan Guskov came to the UFC, had to fight Volkan Ozdemir, lost, then has been on a great run. Now Ivan comes in, loses to Ion Kutalaba. This is where he bounces back. This is a risk, but undefeated fighters have been doing well. I love picking underdogs. I'm going to go with Ivan Erzling. I got a little Croatian in me. I got no New Zealander in me. I'm going to ride with Ivan Erzling, and I might even go with like a round 3 finish. I think Navajo might tire a bit. Ivan's going to put the pressure on, and Ivan Erzling's going to get it done. Wow, I'm shocking myself with this prediction. Let's hope I don't regret it, because we've been pretty good on predictions this year. I came in more with like a plus 60 now or something. We are doing phenomenal. Getting into our second light heavyweight matchup, actually our final light heavyweight matchup, and they're putting them back to back, and I love it so much. Modestus the Baltic Gladiator Bukakis taking on the Hulk, Ion Kutalaba. But look at that, the man who beat Ivan fighting right after he fights. Modestus coming in 17-6, Ion 19-10 with a draw and a no contest. 2 inches in height for Modestus, 6'3 to 6'1, and 3 inches in height, 78 inches, 75. Switch stance for Modestus, southpaw with that left for Ion Kutalaba. Minus 110. Both of these men know, the odds makers don't know, and honestly, I like it. This is great matchmaking. Both men are 31. Modestus from Lithuania, but now trains in England. 13 of his 17 wins coming by finish, 10 KOs and 3 subs. Now, 5 of his 6 defeats have been by finish, including 4 by knockout, but he's been on a good little run here. Don't you worry. Modestus, 2-fight winning streak, a round 3 arm triangle in July, and most recently fought in February, and got a 2-minute knockout of Rafael Sequeira. Yeah. Yeah, Modestus is so back. Last defeat was in November 2023 against Vitor Petrino. The last defeat before that, Khalil Roundtree Jr., Michael Okojasek, and Jimmy Crude. You know, and in his second stint so far in the UFC since coming back in 2023, 4-1. Only losses to Vitor Petrino, which is a pretty good prospect. You know, not too bad if you ask me. Modestas, he's been looking really good, and I think after going on 1-3 through his first UFC stint, he left, went to, I don't know if it was Cage Warriors or somewhere overseas, and he had a good run, and now Modestas is back, and he faces, you could clear out your junior as of right now is probably his biggest test, but in his second stint, this is probably going to be his biggest test as he takes on the Hulk, Ion Kudalaba from Moldova, but now trains in Las Vegas, same gym as Chris Curtis and Sean Strickland, Extreme Couture. 16 of his 19 wins by finish, 13 KOs and 3 submissions. Of his 10 defeats, he's been finished 7 times, 4 by sub, 3 by knockout, and he's also coming in on a 2-fight winning streak. He shockingly upset Ibel Azad in February with a round one arm triangle. One of the biggest upsets of the year, if you're asking me. That was supposed to be a pick-me-up fight for Ibel Azad. I thought Ibel was going to be the breakout light heavyweight of the year. I guess not. Before that, beat Ivan Arslan, just like we talked about. Before that, lost Felipe Lins. Before that, knocked out Tanner Bowser. And after that, we just get too far down the wire. But this guy's been with the UFC since 2016. So I do want to say, this guy's been with the UFC since he was a little old lad of, 22, 23. So you've been seeing Ion Kudalaba for a while. He's fought in Jared Cannonier, Misha Serkinov, actually holds a win over Khalil Roundtree Jr., fought Glover Teixeira, Magomed Ankalaev, Ryan Spann, Johnny Walker. He's fought in some tough competition, but honestly, I have a sweet spot in my heart for Modestas Bukauskas, and I think he's just going to pull out the win. I don't know what it is. I'm just a fan of Modestas Bukauskas. Sometimes you just become fans of fighters and you can't even explain, and that's what it's like for me for Modestas Bukauskas. I think his skill set he can use for Ion Kudalaba. Ion Kudalaba, I kid you not, is the biggest hit or miss fighter. It is insane. You never know what version of Ion Kudalaba is going to show up, and I'm going to go with the version that does not get the job done. Next up, actually a very good women's matchup right here. Women's flyweights is this going to round out the prelims? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. Second to last fight on the prelims. It's our first ranked women of the night as we head to the women's strawweight division as the number 5 ranked Jessica Andrade takes on the number... Where did she go? Jillian... Where's Jasmine at? Oh my gosh, are we fighting? This is at... We're at flyweight. Jessica Andrade, is she even... Jessica Andrade is ranked 7. I forget that Jessica Andrade is ranked in 2 divisions. The number 7th ranked Jessica Andrade takes on the number 9 ranked Jasmine Jessica divisions. I guess that's how good Jessica Andrade is. She's ranked in 2 divisions. Messing me up. Jessica Bate Escata Andrade, 26-13. Jasmine with no nickname, 13-3. 5-7-5-1. I mean, you always know that Jessica never has the height, never has the reach. 68-62 in favor of Jasmine. Orthodox stance for both of these ladies. Jessica is the plus 230 underdog. They got Jasmine minus 285. They got Jasmine coming in as the favorite, and honestly, I love it. Jessica, let's start with her. 33 years old from Brazil, 18 of those 26 wins coming by finish, 10 knockouts, and 8 subs. Now, of her 13 defeats, she has been finished 9 times, 5 KOs, and 4 by submission, but she always brings the energy. I kid you not, Jessica always brings the energy. Been with the UFC since, goodness me, 2013. I mean, she's been here over a decade. She's been fighting since she was a young 20-year-old, and she is just, I mean, fought in a who's who. I mean, we could just go through just a couple names. Hockwell Pennington, multiple fights against her. Joanna Jacek, Rose Namajunas, she won the belt. Zhang Wei Li, she's fought in Lauren Murphy, Tatiana Suarez. I mean, she has fought in a lot of women you would recognize. Last time out in September, lost the fight of the night to Natalia Silva, just got outstruck. But before that, split decision win over Marina Rodriguez, knocked out Mackenzie Dern in November 2023. I mean, she's always been exciting. Jessica Andrade, always an ageless talent. Always love seeing her fight. And she truly, when they give out, I know when people hate when they give out packages, she deserves a really good package when she chooses to retire, but she ain't going nowhere. We'll see how she does, though. Against the lady who was actually 3 years older than her at 36, Jasmine Jasudovicius, the hometown Canada girl on a 4-fight winning streak. 2 knockouts and 3 subs give her 5 of 13 wins by finish, and she's never been finished herself of her 3 defeats. Been to the UFC since 2022, and she won on Dana White's Contender Series. Losses are to Natalia Silva and Tracy Cortez. Since that Tracy Cortez loss in September 2023, she went 3-0 in 2024 and picked up a win over Myra Bueno Silva in February. 2 dart strokes on there, and yeah, she's been dominant. Those wins over Priscilla Cashueta and Aria De Silva were dominant, simply dominant. Jasmine, so fun to watch. I was really leaning Jasmine Jasudovicius, but but I don't know. Jessica Andrade is really tricky to figure out. You know, it's, I think the approach for Jasmine's going to be the takedowns. I think that's what's going to be the deciding factor here, but I don't know if she can get past Jessica. I'm going to be honest, I was really leading Jasmine as just a lock, but the more I look at Jessica Andrade, you know, even the people who are able to solve her, Tatiana Suarez, John Shonan, and Aaron Blanchfield, Natalia Silva, that's a high, high level. And I just don't know if Jasmine possesses that skill set, not to be negative against her, but, you know, you can go out and out-grapple Mayra Bueno Silva, you can out-grapple Ariana De Silva, but can you out-grapple Jessica Andrade? I don't know. And you know what? This always happens to me. I always switch up my picks live on the podcast. This happened with Bo Nickel and Randy Rear, but son of a gun, we're riding with Jessica Andrade. I swear I never pick her to win. It's about time I pick her. We have a Jessica Andrade pick, long overdue, and we're going to use it here. And hey, plus 230 when she's a little underdog. You can win some money. Tail my picks, guys. I know what I'm talking about. With that, let's get to our final prelim of the evening. Welterweight action as proper Mike Mallett takes on Charles Chuck Buffalo Radke. And I know Charles is not getting the microphone. Let me tell you that. Charles, the plus 175 underdog. Mike Mallett, the minus 255 favorite. Maybe like, Zach, why would you not give Chuck Buffalo the microphone? Well, let me tell you something right here and now. It is because he said the F-A-G word multiple times. He's gotten a victory. So yeah, UFC does not like giving him the microphone. Although it's just kind of a detriment more to them. To him, I would say that the UFC, because UFC just goes, oh, it's free speech. We don't support what he says, but he can say whatever he wants. Mike Mallett, 33, though, he is the favorite. He's going to be the man everyone's rooting for. He's from Canada, now actually lives in California, though. Everyone's getting out of Canada except Jasmine Jasmine DeVicious. 10 of his 11 wins have came by finish, 4 KOs and 6 subs, and both of his losses were by a knockout. He's currently sitting at 4-1 in the UFC, coming off a win in November over Trevin Giles. Won his lone defeats to Neil Magny, and it was brutal. I'm going to tell you, that was over a year ago, January 2024. He was up, he was winning, and then in the final 20 seconds, he gets his back taken against TKO. It was kind of funny. I can't even lie. And, you know, the Trevin Giles win wasn't impressive, but I think he just wanted to pick me up win. He didn't want to go in super, super zealous. But Mike Mallett, you know, he's in EA Sports UFC 5. He has a lot of people rooting for him. You know, we'll see how he does against Charles Radke. Charles Radke, 34 years old from Wisconsin. 7 of his 10 wins by finish, 4 KOs and 5 KOs and 2 subs. And 2 of his 4 losses have been by knockout. This dude, yet to make it out of round one. He's taken on Gilbert Urbina, knocked him out. Took out Carlos Prates, got knocked out. Took out Matthew Sellersberger, knocked him out in 51 seconds. I guess in September 2023, he had a unanimous decision win over Blood Diamond, but hey, Charles Radke, we know he's good. We know he's talented. This one's tricky, guys. Because Charles Radke does have a great skill set. And mind you, his only loss is Carlos Prates. But Mike Mallett, you know, just the Canadian boys never do well in Canada. They never really do well. I don't think all of them are going to lose, but I don't think all of them are going to win. I've kind of switched up a lot of my picks as we've been moving along so far. And I just don't know, you know, as I look at their skill set, I know both of them can grapple, both of them can strike, both of them have the power to, you know, get it done. I just, it's tricky. It's tricky, and, you know, we do live discourse here on the pod. I don't edit any of my thought process out, so we just got to pick something right here now. And you know what? I'm going to pick him, Mike Mallett. Why? Because I don't appreciate homophobia, Charles Radke. I am inclusive here on the Surprise Jam podcast, so do it for your liberal Canada, Mike Mallett, and knock out Charles Radke. With that, though, we get into the main card. I'm excited for it. Now, we were supposed to have just a battle of gladiators between Joel Alvarez and Benoit St. Denis, and Joel Alvarez decided to, I don't even know, he couldn't make weight, he got injured or something, I have no idea, but instead, the God of War, Benoit St. Denis, takes on Kyle, what's his nickname, Killshot Prepolic. Killshot, what a nickname for you. Kyle, plus 600, Benoit St. Denis, minus 1,050, BSD, 13-3 with a no contest, Kyle, 18-8, 5'11-5'10, 1 inch and 8 for Benoit, 3 inches of reach for Benoit as well, 73-70, southpaw for both of these fighting gentlemen. Benoit St. Denis, is he still in the rankings? I'd be surprised. He's 13. Wow, Benoit St. Denis is still in the rankings somehow. Somehow he remains in the rankings. I don't know how. He's 29 years old from France, 13 wins, 13 finishes, 4 KOs and 9 subs. And of his 3 losses, he's been finished twice. twice by knockout, actually. I'm supposed to fight Joel Alvarez, but things happen. Benoit Kate took a short notice fight up 15 pounds against Eliseo Lesque dos Santos. Got his brains bashed in, but that boy is just, he's got the heart of a warrior, and he wouldn't quit. Then proceeded to go on an insane run. Submits Nicholas Stolze. Knocks out Gabriel Miranda. Submits Ismael Bonfim. Knocks out Thiago Moises. Knocks out Matt Frivola. Then gets a co-main event against Dustin Poirier. And probably puts on the most exciting two-round fight you will ever see. Dustin Poirier versus BSD was amazing. Then, I don't know what happened. Came back in France. Took on Renato Moicano. And I don't know if it was prime Moicano, but BSD did not look himself. He really didn't look himself. Got out-grappled. Got TKO'd on the ground. It was bad. It was bad, and I will say the doctor stopped it right after he won a round, which kind of sucks. He was winning the end of round two. I think he actually won on the judges' scorecard. So he was fighting back, but just got cut open way too bad. But this is a perfect return fight for Benoit St. Denis as he takes on Kyle Killshot Propolic, 35 years old from Canada, on a little three-fight win streak. 14 of 18 wins by finish. Nice. 10 KOs and 4 subs. And 2 of his 8 losses have came by submission. He last fought in June, and he got a round 1 TKO. Good for him. This will be his second stint to the UFC, unofficially, as this is just a short-nosed fight. He had 2 fights in 2019 where he lost decisions to Nordin Taleb and Austin Hubbard. Yikes, losing decisions to Austin Hubbard. That is not good at all. There's no sense in lingering. Benoit St. Denis, round 1 knockout. This is just, give us a little submission action. We haven't got Benoit St. Denis by submission. Who knows? But yeah, there's nothing you can pay me to pick Kyle. Maybe if you give me a free $100 and say, hey, you can bet on Kyle and win $6,000, sure. But yeah, we're going with Benoit St. Denis all day. And with that, the main card is off and a rolling, and we go into our first of 2 women's fights on the main card. Alexa Grasso, Natalia Silva. They are going to be your number 1 and number 5 ranked women in the women's flyweight division. The winner of this might be getting a title shot next. I don't know. I think Natalia Silva will deserve it if she wins, but we'll have to see. Alexa 16-4-1. Natalia 18-5-1. 5'5 to 5'4 one chin height for Alexa. One chin reach as well. 6'6, 6'5. Southpaw for Natalie. Orthodox for Alexa Grasso. Grasso comes in at plus 185. Natalia Silva minus 225. Yes, I love it. Alexa Grasso, 31 years old from Mexico. Six of her 16 wins she's gotten a finish in. I honestly thought she had more. Interesting. 4 KOs and 2 subs. And of her 4 losses, she's been submitted once. Alexa Grasso kind of just started out average in the UFC. You know, she was 3-3. It was whatever. And then went on a little 5-5 win streak, upset Valentina Shevchenko, and the rest is history. Had a split decision draw against her at UFC Noche, and then came back for the second UFC Noche. And Yeah, we all know Valentina Shevchenko just destroyed her. I mean, let me just tell you guys, one of the worst fights I've ever seen. 16 of 25 minutes of grappling. Alexa Grasso didn't win anything on the judges' scorecards. It was abysmal. It was abysmal. So if you're Natalia Silva, you're looking at that and going, oh, I just got to grapple her, and I'll win the freaking fight. So Alexa Grasso looking to bounce back. She was able to, defend her belt in a weird way against Valentina Shevchenko. I don't know. Their fates are intertwined. They're currently 1-1-1 against each other. There might be only one way to settle it. So we'll see if Alexa Grasso can get back to that. But it won't be easy as she takes on the up-and-coming Natalia Silva, 28 years old from Brazil, on a 12-fight winning streak. Heck yeah. And by the way, 12 of 18 wins by finish. That's what we'd love to see. 5 KOs and 7 subs. And over 5 defeats, she's been finished 3 times. But so far on the UFC, she is a perfect 6-0. She's coming off a fight of the night win over Jessica Andrade. And she's knocked out Victoria Leonarda. And she's knocked out Teresa Blade. And she's beaten Andrea Lee and Viviana Rujo. As you can tell, we are big Natalia Silva fans here on the podcast. We absolutely love her around here. And I've been waiting for her to get this opportunity. And don't get me wrong, I don't hate Alexa Grasso. Her and Valentina kind of give off Figueiredo versus Moreno vibes, if I'm being honest, but I got to go with Natalia Silva. Yet again, another fighter. She has earned this shot. I think Alexa Grasso needs to lose. It's what's best for business, as they say. And I think Natalia Silva's kicks are going to give her a bit of a problem. And if she does choose to mix in the grappling, that will benefit her equally as much as the kicking will do. So, we're going with Natalia Silva. Probably going to go the distance. I don't really know if I see a finish happening here. If so, that would be kind of awesome, though. Moving up, bantamweight action. And if you want to talk about random fights, we were talking about Piotr Jan taking on Marcus McGee earlier on the pod. And let me just tell you, this one is insane. The number 11th ranked Jose Aldo taking on number 15th ranked Amin Zahabi. Like, Jose Aldo, what are you doing? Why are you still fighting, Jose? What are you doing, Jose? -225. Amanzahabi +185. Jose, 32-9. That's right. He's in the 40 ranges of fights now. Amanzahabi, 12-2. 5'8" to 5'7" one inch in height for Amin. 2 inches of reach for Jose. 70-68. Orthodox stance for both these gentlemen. Interesting. Interesting all around. That's all I got to say about that. Jose coming in 38 years old from Brazil. 18 finishes. 18 finishes. The timeless legend. 16 KOs and 2 subs. And mind you, of his 9 defeats, finished 5 times. 4 of them by knockout, once by sub. Always interesting what you get with Jose Aldo. You know, we never know when the last Jose Aldo fight would be. It could be this could be his retirement fight. We never know. We never know. But Jose, of course, undefeated for years, and then unfortunately ran into Conor McGregor, regarded as one of the greatest featherweight champions, if not the greatest of all time. I'm more of a Volk guy. You know, I think Volk's probably the greatest featherweight champion of all time. That's just because I grew up watching him. But Jose, he had an incredible run from, what was it, like 2006 to 2014 or something. It was something ridiculous, you know. His fights against Max Holloway, Volkanovski, his fights against Marlon Moraes and Piotr Jan, you know, then comes in, beats Marlon Vera, beats Pedro Munhoz, beats Rob Font, runs into Mirab Dovashelli. Last win was over Jonathan Martinez in May of last year, and he last fought in October and lost a boring fight to Mario Batista. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, he should have won that fight. He didn't, and now he finds himself here fighting yet another prospect. Jose Aldo does not need to be fighting prospects. Jose Aldo should get fun fights. Let's do Jose Aldo, Corey Sandhagen. Jose Aldo, Sean O'Malley. Jose Aldo, Piotr Jan too. Jose Aldo, Devin Figueiredo. We don't need to have him fight prospects. And here he is taking on Amanzahabi. And I don't know. We'll see how this one goes. And for no one who doesn't know Amanzahabi, 37 years old, hometown guy from Canada, on a 5-fight winning streak. 8 of his 12 wins by finish, 5 KOs and 3 subs, and he's only ever been knocked out once in his 2 defeats. That was back in 2017. His last defeat was 2019. Since then, 5-fight winning streak. Last fought in November of 2024 where he beat Pedro Munhoz. And, you know, he's been doing it in the striking. He really has, and he's been on a great run. His knockout of Al Gorkwin was insane. He humbled Ricky Tercios, became the first man to beat Javid Basharat. You know, he's been entertaining. He's been entertaining. I don't know what his ceiling is, but he looks exactly like Ariel Helwani. For anyone who knows who Ariel Helwani is, literally his MMA doppelganger. And I don't even hate Jose Aldo. And honestly, if Jose wins, I'll be kind of happy. But look, we'll pick a Canadian boy here. We're just going to go Amanzahabi over Jose Aldo just to be a troll so that whenever it goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe Jose Aldo lost, I'll go, yeah, I picked him. But I just don't know. They're both old, 38 and 37. They're past their prime in the men's bantamweight division. I guess Amanzahabi is technically in his prime, but he almost has like a Benil Dariush type of prime, getting it kind of later in his career. And hey, maybe you'd be like Glover Teixeira, win the belt when you're 40 freaking two. I don't know, but Amanzahabi, I think he's just going to outdistance strike Jose Aldo. It's going to go to a split decision. Jose's going to get pissed again. The decision doesn't go his way, and that's going to be that. Nothing more, nothing less. That'll be how the fight goes. And with that, ladies and gents, we get into our co-main event. We get 2 title fights. Wow, lucky us, 2 title fights. Our first one, we head to the women's bantamweight division. Psych, women's flyweight division. I spoke wrongly there. As Valentina Shevchenko takes on the number 2 ranked Manon Fiora. She's basically the number 1 contender, but she's ranked number 2. Valentina +130 is oddly the underdog. I don't know if the odds are going to shift, but what's going on there? Manon Fiora at -155 is the favorite. I guess Valentina Bullet Shevchenko, 24-4-1. Manon the Beast Fiora, 12-1. And yes, she is on a 12-fight winning streak. Been a while since Manon Fiora last lost. 5'7" to 5'5". Manon's got 2 inches in height. 1 inch in reach goes to Valentina, 66-65. Southpaw for Valentina, orthodox for Manon. Yeah. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Valentina Shevchenko, of course, she is not only your women's flyweight champion, she's the number 1 pound-for-pound fighter on the freaking planet for women. It's insane. Oh my gosh, 37 years old from Kyrgyzstan, but now actually lives in Peru. Can't believe I forgot about that. 15 of her wins have came by finish, 8 KOs and 7 subs. And of her 4 defeats, she's been finished twice. I believe both of them by submission, maybe once by knockout. Last loss was to Alexa Grasso in 2023. And this is actually the first person not named Alexa Grasso she's fighting since 2022. I mean, oh my goodness. Valentina was on an incredible run before she was upset by Alexa Grasso. And let me just tell you, she's got the belt back. She could maybe drop it here, but I just don't see him. I don't see it. There's just not really. She's going to maybe reach, like, she's 37, so she's obviously aged a bit. She's gotten into her 30s where maybe someone could take it from her. But after looking at what she did to Alexa Grasso, she still has it in her. She still knows what to do to get the job done. And, yeah, we all know about Valentina Shevchenko. The bullet, the killer, the savage. She would whoop grown man's asses. Let me tell you that plain out and simple. She would kick your father's butt. Maybe not mine, because my dad's a superhero. Look at that. Shout out to my father. And we'll see how Valentina does against the lady from France. 35? You know, she's not that much younger. Like I said, 12-fight win streak. Dropped her first professional fight since then. Hasn't looked back. Six knockouts of those 12 wins. And she's currently, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7-0 in the UFC. Not too bad, man. And she was originally booked for a fight, I want to say, I can't remember when she was booked last for a fight. But nonetheless, she last officially fought March of 2024, beat Erin Blanchfield. Also has beaten Rose Namajunas, Caitlin Cerminara, Jennifer Meyer, Maribel Silva, Tabitha Ritchie. She's collected a pretty good resume. Hasn't gotten a finish in 4 years, which is kind of a doozy. But, you know, if Madden wins, I won't be surprised, but I'm going Valentina. I just think it's the easiest pick. It's the simplest pick. If she actually is an underdog, that's insane. You know, I do want to say that Zhang Weili was an underdog against Tatiana Suarez for some reason. And, you know, Manon, she can strike, she can grapple, but so can Valentina. I do think if this fight's going to be won anywhere for Manon, it's on the feet. And unfortunately, we've never seen Valentina really get knocked out since she was just a young whippersnapper in her 20s. So Valentina will win. She'll remain in probably a boring five-round decision. But hey, maybe this is the sneaky greatest women's fight of all time. You know, they always come up out of nowhere. Fingers crossed it could be this one. And then we talk about the main event. Okay. The main event, Bilal Muhammad getting another pay-per-view main event. First title defense, long overdue. Long overdue, almost a year, Bilal. Almost a year. We need defending champions here. Bilal Muhammad is the number 7 ranked men's pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. Your current men's welterweight champion. And he takes on the number 5 ranked Jack Della Maddalena. They even got a nickname for each other. Bilal, remember the name. Yeah, I forgot, right? I forgot his nickname. I have to try and remember his name. JDM plus 190, Bilal minus 230. Bilal 24-3 with one no contest. Jack 17-2. Both men are 5'11". 1 inch in reach for Jack, 73-72. Orthodox stance for Bilal. Switch stance for JDM. Ooh, let's start with the challenger, Jack Della Maddalena. 17-fight winning streak. Similar to Man If You're Out, dropped his first two fights since then. Hasn't lost since. 28 years old from Australia. 12 knockouts and 2 subs. Give him 14 of 17 wins by finish, which is really good. Both of his losses, both of the fights he's lost, he was knocked out and submitted in. But those were, oof, gosh, years ago at this point. JDM, supposed to fight Leon Edwards on March 22nd. Instead, he was given the opportunity to fight here. Of course, he had to take that. And now that's where this fight will take place. Last time he fought, beat Gilbert Burns. March 2024, a crazy round 3 comeback, and the only thing that fight told me is the way to beat Jack Della Maddalena is in the grappling. So, I mean, this fight, honestly, I think is wraps. I love Jack Della Maddalena. I would love to see Jack Della Maddalena beat Bilal Muhammad, but I don't know if he can. I really don't, you know. It's one thing where you're going out beating Ramazan Imev, Danny Roberts, Randy Brown, then you're getting split decisions against Basile Hafez and Kevin Holland. Then the Gilbert Burns fight, yeah, he was better than striking, but he got taken out 7 times against the Gilbert Burns, who is way past his prime. I don't know. I don't know, guys. We'll have to see how Jack does, but I do think in the striking department, this is Jack Della Maddalena's fight to win. He just has to keep it off the ground. Unfortunately, he's taken on one of the best grapplers we've ever seen. That is Bilal. Remember the name, Muhammad. 36 years old from Chicago. Unofficially on a 10-fight winning streak. I mean, obviously, he had the no contest, but we consider it a winning streak here. 5 KOs and 1 sub give him 6 of 24 wins by finish. Insane. Insane. That is awful odds. That is what 1-8 or something. He never gets finishes. He never does. He's been knocked out once in his career. It was against Vicente Luque way back in 2017, I want to say. But hey, I gotta give it to Bilal. As much as I hate, he's a really good dude. Like, he's a really good human being in general. And he absolutely ran through Leon Edwards. Like, he made Leon Edwards look silly. He also made Gilbert Burns look silly. Sean Brady look silly. Vicente Luque, Wonderboy Thompson, Damian Maia. He has been on a generational run. And you know what? It ain't stopping here. We're taking Remember the Name, Bilal Muhammad. And guys, I'm a pick decision, but I just have a sneaky suspicion. I just have a sneaky itch that Bilal might get a finish. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I think Bilal Muhammad can get a freaking finish. I just think it's in him. I don't know if it's going to be a ground and pound TKO. I don't know if it's going to be a shocking rear naked chokehold or guillotine, but maybe even a knockout punch. That would be awesome. But look, Bilal was supposed to fight Shavkat UFC 310. Pulled out of that. Fast forward. I sound like an absolute tune. Well, you wouldn't think I'm graduating college saying stuff like that, but fast forward to 5 months later and look at him now. Another main event, taking on JDM. You know, this is a great opportunity for Bilal to really cement himself as the greats of all time. And he said if he wins, he wants to move up in weight. But here's the interesting thing. Here's the very interesting thing. The UFC 317 main event is yet to be announced, and as we know right now, Ilia Topuria is going to be one half of it. And the rumors are going around, I think it's pretty obvious right now, if Bilal wins, Islam Makhachev will take on and defend his lightweight championship against Ilia Topuria. If Jack Della Maddalena wins, Islam Makhachev will move up in weight to try and win the welterweight championship over Jack Della Maddalena, and Charles Oliveira will fight Ilia Topuria for the vacant lightweight championship. So a lot of stuff rides on this event. I'm honestly a little excited for it. I wasn't excited for it, then I always go through and I cover all the fights and I get all excited. So it's going to be a pretty busy graduation weekend for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch all of the fights. I'll probably just be on my phone or something. But yeah, should be exciting. Just to recap our picks, we got Beksat Almakan, Jiang Lee, Bruno Silva, Ivan Erzling, Modestus Bukakis, Jessica Andrade, Mike Mallett, Natalia Silva, Amin Zahabi, Valentina Shevchenko, Benoit Saint-Denis, and for the first time I think ever, Bilal Muhammad. That is right, we're riding with a lot of people. I don't usually pick because you gotta spice it up, guys, but yeah, this is the last podcast I'll ever record as a college senior, and it kind of makes me sad. And you know, I was talking to my boys and like, oh, you don't need to be sad about everything, be excited about the future, and I am. I just think it's that I've had the amazing college experience, and it's just, it's sad to see it go, but I'll retain those memories for the rest of my life as long as I live. And you know what, hopefully I live long enough to watch all the stuff we covered today. And go watch Righteous Gemstones, guys. Go watch WWE Backlash, all those exciting things. And yeah, tune in for UFC 315 as always. Follow me on social media, you know, Zach_Ruger, you know, TikTok, Twitter, I'm on everything. Reach out, say hey, I want you to talk about this, come do that, do it. Why not, fellas? So everyone, have an amazing weekend. Have an amazing May. I will see you all next week as we kind of recap everything. Should be exciting, as always. You know what? I always like to toy around, with different outros. Maybe I should say, like, and I'll jab you later. Nah, I don't like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.